Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. Today is Thursday, April 25th, and the NFL draft starts today, so we are finally going to know where some of these rookies are going to end up. As a result, we're not going to be discussing rookies on today's show. We're going to save that for next week where we actually know where they're going to be. This week, we have yet another special guest, Lindsay O'Kay, NFL writer who covers the Baltimore Ravens for USA Today. Lindsay, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm very tired, very busy, but it's just that time of year, I guess.
That time of the year. Hopefully you got a cocktail in hand by now, because, yeah, a sleeping pill in the other hand for the end of the night. But, hey, how can you, right? Because those Twitter alerts going off, you never know if the trade goes down. Busy season, definitely tired.
Yep. Normally I like, silence my phone, like, when I go to sleep, but this week I keep it on, and it's not doing me any favors so far. So,
do you take the night of the draft off? Like, you watch it, but do you, like, are you doing research and everything? You just take the night off and deal with it all Friday?
Working straight through the weekend. Wow. All weekend. Man. Yeah.
Man.
So
we're very happy for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
You know, it's definitely a strenuous time of the year, and definitely glad to get some of your insights. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And as you guys have probably guessed by now, my other co-host is Hoos. So thank you for not waiting for me to introduce you.
Hey, you know, I'm rude AF. I'm rude AF. It's a family show.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and kick it off with a quick question like we usually do. So I'm going to throw this to both of you, but Lindsay, you first. So I'm excited about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about Willie Snead signing that 2-year, $7 million deal with the Ravens?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to
actually, let's make it 9 to 10.
Okay.
Scale of 9 to 10?
Oh, that's pushing it. I was going to say, like, 7.
Oh, I like it. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really, like, as it's draft day now, like, they need to get a wide receiver in there anyway. They need to get a young guy. They haven't, obviously, besides, like, Breshad Perriman, but he, like, doesn't exist to me. So they need to get a young guy in there and kind of build him from the top, which the Ravens haven't really ever been able to do. But with the addition of Willie Snead, and then you've got John Brown in there, and then obviously Michael Crabtree, like, I think they're kind of saving themselves to kind of pick a wide receiver later on in the draft. But at this point, anybody's good for me. He's not Breshad Perriman. He's not Michael Campanaro. So that's why he's a 7 for me.
Michael Campanaro.
I love
anybody
it.
Anybody who doesn't suck is good with me.
Hoos, what about you?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I love Willie Snead. I just love that this is an opportunity for him, because I know the team just wrote him off last year just off of just his antics. You know, he had a DUI, and the team just, you know, some coaches are just really, really hard on guys like that. I'm pretty sure Meredith's going to have a nice, you know, year there. So it's has nothing to do with Snead. I believe this is all antics. They buried him over there. He's going to have a shot here on the Ravens. I'm really excited about his opportunity. Now, it's, you know, it's fantasy. It's still early. They could add a receiver, like Lindsay was saying. So, I mean, I want to project him already, but it's still too early. I am really in love with that, you know, him with that landing spot. So I'm pretty sure you have much, much, much greater things to say, as you guys are Eskimo brothers in some way, right?
Oh, what? Man, that'd be cool. So, a little bit about me. Not the Eskimo brother thing. Not the Eskimo thing.
Something slightly, you know, really. Maybe you never know.
Introduce myself at the beginning of the show? I don't even think I did that, did I? No. Well, anyways, it's too late now. I am Professor Chris. I'm a math professor at Ball State University. I did my undergrad and grad work there, too, and that's where Willie Snead played. So I got to watch his entire career. I saw every single game that he played at Ball State, and he is super impressive. The dude can catch anything. Looking back at his just college stats, because we know what he did last year, what he didn't do last year. But 2013 is junior year before he went to the draft, in 13 games, 106 catches, 1,500 yards, and 15 touchdowns in 13 games. Like, the dude can play.
Yeah, Duke of Ball.
And he can he catches everything. I rarely ever saw a pass go Willie Sneed's way that didn't get caught. He was just super impressive. We saw him have a – he put together a really solid season with the Saints 2 years ago. Now, last year, yeah, didn't do anything. But 2 years ago, he was pretty good. I was super high on him last year. Now, I think he's going to get the opportunity to be the number two because I don't think John Brown's going to be the two. Right. Obviously, Crabtree's is the one. I think Willie Sneed's going to be the two, and I believe that's what the depth chart has him at right now. So I'm probably about an eight on this one.
Wow.
Pretty
positive. I'm really surprised. I'm disappointed in you, Chris.
That it's not a 10.
I'm disappointed it's not an 11 or 12 or something like that. I mean, you're scaling your expectations. But you know what? I should have expected this from you, so I guess I shouldn't be too disappointed.
Huge fan. Huge fan here. All right, let's go ahead and move into the news.
Wait, are you guys really Eskimo Brothers, though?
He could be. No. So I guess it's fitting that we have you on, Lindsay, because there's some Ravens news. Well, kind of Ravens news. They missed out on a player. Adam Schefter reported that the Ravens are out on Dez Bryant. He reportedly turned down a multi-year contract from Baltimore because he wants a one-year prove-it deal. So, not going to the Ravens. Most speculation that we've seen over the last, couple weeks, really, it feels like a couple weeks, is that he's going to be going to the Giants. He was spotted working out with Odell Beckham, and Odell Beckham has reported to the Giants voluntary minicamp, so it's not like he's going to be sitting out or anything like that. So, does this seem like it's a done deal, Lindsay, him going to the Ravens or the Giants?
So, actually, a little tidbit here. I heard on Friday, and I actually reported this on Monday. He did turn down a deal, but the reason they gave was because he wanted the 1 year deal instead of the multi-year deal. But I heard from a player, who I will not name. The reason being was because he didn't want to play with Joe Flacco.
Whoa.
That was right before they offered that deal to Willie Sneed. So I think he was their second choice, and Dez Bryant was their first. And when Dez ultimately told them no, then that was when they had signed Willie Sneed to that offer sheet. So there's a little tidbit for you.
It makes sense. Yeah. The painting, now that you added that color to the rest of the sketch, it definitely makes sense now that we're hearing this. The 1 year deal to the Giants have got to make some moves. I don't know if they have, but I guess if he's going to take a 1 year prove it, he's saying, hey, I don't want the money. I don't know. Yeah. Can he go anywhere else? But it sounds like it's the Giants right now. Panthers still need a receiver. He could still, see this, Dallas, twice if he goes to the Redskins. I love him in the Giants uniform because, as you guys know, well, Lindsay, you may not know, but yeah, I'm a Giants. I want to call myself a fanboy because I hate on my team so much because they scarred him so bad that, I put up a good shield. And, but I guess that's why I'm not anticipating him coming so much just because maybe I'm not trying to set myself up. Brandon Marshall, he did that for me. That didn't work out too well, even though I kind of saw the writings on the wall as soon as the preseason hit. He couldn't catch a ball.
Are you talking yourself out of a point?
I always
sure
do.
Where you were going.
So,
Well, yeah, in other Giants news, which is a week old but happened after the last show, is that the Giants did release Brandon Marshall. So, yeah, not much of a surprise. Do you think he's going to play another year?
There hasn't really been any news on him, though, has there? Right. I haven't not heard him going anywhere or visiting anybody, right?
Nope.
I guess since after Dez Domino, I mean, who's the other big receiver out there? We got some running backs. We got C.J. Anderson still out there. Murray's still out there. But as far as big-name receivers, I'm pretty sure it's just, Dez and him at this point. So maybe after Dez falls, then we might see someone clamoring. I'm not clamoring. Maybe someone signing Brandon Marshall. Who knows? Maybe he ends up back at the Bears,
Yeah, a lot of guys wait till after the draft, too. So that could be another thing. We could be doing that on purpose. So,
yeah, very true. So before I move into this next piece of news, I got to say, I saw you post something on Twitter that I thought was hilarious. And this was after Julio Jones sort of hid all of the stuff related to the Falcons and took down pictures and blah, blah, got rid of everything to do with the Atlanta Falcons. You sent him a DM that said, yes. Don't respond if you don't want to play with Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Love that.
He didn't respond, so he obviously doesn't want to play with Matt
there
Ryan
it is.
Anymore. Who would?
There it is. Breaking, guys. Breaking. That's awesome.
I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next piece of news here. Andrew Luck is still not throwing the football. He is at the veteran minicamp, but he does not have any plans to throw. Now, this doesn't make me any more concerned than the news a week or two ago that said he hadn't thrown a football yet. But the fact that he's at minicamp and doesn't plan to throw it, not super happy about that.
Like, he's not even planning to pick it up, is what they were saying yesterday. Yeah. Like, you can't be a football and be near Andrew Luck, and that's not good if you're planning to play this year. It's just not. So, I don't know. I'd be concerned.
Yeah, man. This definitely hurts T.Y. This is who I think of the most, obviously, after thinking about Chris. You know, I think about Chris, you know, but after I think about Chris, you know, and, you know, I lean him on my shoulder, he gets a good cry out. I think about T.Y. Hilton, you know, and how much that hurts him if this guy does not pick a ball up. And for a long time, we've been hearing that it's a mental thing. It's starting to really look like it. I mean, if you're talking about not even going to pick it up, like
Yeah, I'm still trying to reserve judgment, but not super pumped right now. But that's still not a whole lot of big news there, aside from that he's not throwing at minicamp. So let's move on. Some fifth-year options were picked up this week. The Titans picked up the option for Marcus Mariota. No surprise. I really don't think any of these are surprises. The Chargers picked up Melvin Gordon, his option. The Rams picked up the option for both Todd Gurley and Marcus Peters. Not surprising there. And the Dolphins exercised the option on Devontae Parker. That one is the one that I could take it or leave it.
Right. But, they had to.
All right. So we also had some news that Rob Gronkowski will be traded before the 2018 season. I think that came out last week. But he said that he met with Bill Belichick and that confirmed that he is going to be back with the Patriots for 2018. But it was also then reported that he's not going to participate in the Patriots offseason workouts. That's probably more just a veteran trying to stay healthier longer, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen any of those videos on, like, Instagram, he's, like, dancing all up in the club all the time. So he's obviously not hurting.
Yeah, he's his rest.
If Gronk acted like this in season, he'd be suspended. Yeah. He knows when to do it.
He knows he can. Why wouldn't he? But then guys like Blake Bortles have been told that they can't even be seen in bars anymore with a beer in their hand. So, it kind of makes you – there's, like, that double standard there. But, I mean, it's Gronk. Do what he wants, I guess.
I do see one updated thing here. Actually, you mentioned his name just a couple minutes ago. 8 teams have expressed interest in C.J. Anderson. Seems like a lot.
Yeah. It does, given what he's done in the NFL.
I would say, breaking news, 3 or 4 teams are interested in, not 8.
Who are the teams, you know?
It does not say, just that 8 teams have expressed interest. Yeah.
Ravens might be one of them.
C.J. Anderson's got to be the most important thing to talk about, you know, this whole coming next week. So we'll report exactly just this next Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll make sure to drop a show just for this.
Yeah, C.J. Anderson special. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the news. But let's talk some Ravens football. So, just want to run through some of the depth chart here. So, Joe Flacco, what happened between 2016 and 2017? Where 2016, I believe he had the second most pass attempts only to Drew Brees, and last year was just terrible. Yeah.
Well, last year he had suffered that mysterious back injury. He was, like, lifting weights in his gym, like, at home in New Jersey, and, like, slipped a disc. But they never confirmed that he slipped a disc until, like, November. By then, like, it was obvious that he was healthy. So he just basically hurt the entire first half of the season. And that's why he kind of fell off. And obviously they didn't do anything. And then if you noticed, if you watched more of the Ravens games towards the end of the season, the offense kind of started to pick up a little bit. So it was obvious that he was just hurt the first half of the season and continued to play through it. And while I applaud him for doing that, because he is, like, he's a really tough guy. He doesn't seem like it, but he definitely is.
He doesn't seem like it.
He's like Little Dicky, you know, like, he's a rapper, but he's the funny rapper. You don't really consider him a rapper, you know what I mean? So
yeah, there was this story back, I think it was in, like, 2000, it was early on in his career, it was maybe, like, 2009 or 2010, he had this, like, really horrible, like, hip bruise, and it was to the point where he had to stand up on the plane because he couldn't sit down, and he still played. So he's definitely a very tough guy. His play obviously suffered in the first half of the season because of that. So hopefully with this year, he didn't participate in training camp at all last season because of it. So this year with training camp and like getting together with his receivers, which he says he's going to do, which he hasn't ever really done in the past, hopefully we can see more production from him this year. So that's what I'm hoping. I love
yeah,
him.
I mean, he threw it 123 less times last year than in 2016. The touchdowns actually were very similar. He threw 20 in 2016 and 18 last year, so that didn't change. Right. But the difference in yards was 1,200 yards. That killed you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you also have to think, like, he also had Marshall Yanda hurt last year. Obviously, that's, like, a big dude, like, pun intended, a big dude that is – basically helping you do that. So, and when he's gone, like you're like that affects not only the running game, that affects the quarterback too. So you also have to take that into account. So
yeah, he just wasn't even streamable last year in fantasy. You know, just didn't even want to play him. Didn't want to pick him up. Even in two quarterback leagues, he was probably on waivers most of the season, right?
Yeah.
Seems like that. I mean, the only thing that you could say about him was saving grace was for his receivers. I mean, he's always been able to produce receivers. Even Mike Wallace, he was still usable, you know, maybe albeit not every week, but he was still a flex for you. And when he has, you know, Steve Smith, healthy, unhealthy, it didn't matter. He had a number one or a number two receiver borderline. And then when Mike Wallace was there, he was healthy. So, I mean, they're going to have a whole new turnover. I'm really excited, you know, to see what Flacco could do this year. I could possibly see him, you know, taking an attempt at his career attempts again, because it seemed like it was a trend that he was doing. It was a year before and then a year after. And tight ends. I mean, he seems to produce tight ends after tight ends. Benjamin Watson, a tight end 11 last year. He seems to get that right. So, I'm definitely excited.
That's his thing. But the Ravens don't have any of those. So
right. Who's tight end right now? I guess they're going to get one in the draft.
They have Nick Boyle, who you probably haven't even heard of unless you're a Ravens fan. But I'll give you a little tidbit on him. He's been suspended, like, I think it's twice for Adderall. So he's not reliable. And then you have Max Williams, who is hurt every 5 seconds. Yeah. So those are their tight ends right now.
Like, and third on the depth chart is Vince Mail.
Yeah, he caught like one pass last year, and that's pretty much all I know about him. So
all right, yeah, doesn't seem like someone who is really worth paying attention to.
Yeah.
All right, moving on here. So let's talk about these running backs. Actually, you know what? Before I want to talk about the running backs, Hoos, I need to confirm that you said I'm really excited to see Joe Flacco this year. I just want to confirm that you actually did say that.
Well, I am based off of the points that I brought up. I mean, he did lead. Well, not lead. He breaks his own records. So for his own personal gain and, you know, the fact that a lot of the things that Lindsay was alluding to, I know it's funny, but, you know, or real talk. I mean, a lot of little things. Look, the guy's a Super Bowl winner. You know, I mean, the guy's got a chip. You know, like, no disrespect to Joe Flacco. He's getting older. But, you know, I mean, he was laughed at with when he called himself elite, much like, you know, my Eli Manning. I mean, Eli had to prove out, you know, beat Tom Brady a couple times to get another ring. But, you know, I don't know. It's not all about Flacco bad on him. I just feel like, you know, come on, crispiness.
No, this is a fantasy football show. I am not going to stand by and not say that Joe Flacco is super interesting
to watch.
Not excited. About
I'm being nice. Okay, we've got Lindsay okay on the show. She's the Ravens.
I don't give a
shit. Hey now.
Obviously, I care that you're on the show. The fact that you cover the Ravens.
I appreciate you still calling me on my show.
You know what?
Okay.
I'm not going to be a Ravens fan to pander to our wonderful guests.
Oh, would you talk Willie Snead a bunch, though?
Willie Snead.
Yeah.
Sorry,
let's
Lindsay.
Do that.
I'm glad you're here, though, by the way. So.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let's move on to running back. So I want you to pick one guy who you think is going to be the best. We got Alex Collins, Javorius Buck Allen, and Kenneth Dixon. Who do you think is going to be the best running back there? Who's going to be the most fantasy relevant? Who do you think is going to be the starter?
I'm going to pick Alex Collins, although I think he's more of kind of like a Justin Forsett type guy where he has like a super great year and then he's going to kind of fall off a little bit because there's no way he's going to have the year that he had last year. He was a surprise for the Ravens. I don't really think that they even knew that he was going to do what he did last year. But I definitely think he's they're slating him to be the guy this year. I do think they're going to take a running back in the draft at some point. They have to. Buck Allen's good. He's more later in the season, he showed more of like a blocking type of running back. And then Kenneth Dixon, I think, is going to be more of like their kick returning guy. So I think that's kind of what the idea they have right now for them. I definitely think Alex Collins is going to be the guy, and they definitely do need to take a running back in the draft at some point.
I actually hadn't heard that Kenneth Dixon would be doing kick returns. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's just what I think. Please don't quote me on that. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's in my head from what I've seen. So
we're not recording this or anything, so don't worry.
Well, the most interesting part about it all is the fact that Kenneth Dixon will be playing. He's definitely, I think he should have a chance to challenge. He should have a chance to challenge Collins.
Yeah, I mean, they kept him through the injury. They kept him through the suspension. They're going to give him a shot.
Yeah, he's going to get a shot. I think Collins is the guy. I mean, Chris, you know I love Alex Collins. He's been one of my sleepers last year, and I'm really glad that he hit. I mean, he had we're not going to get to the average, I guess, because I feel like every time we say the 4.6 average or whatever. My thing that's most impressive about Alex Collins is that he had a big rip run in like every game, pretty much. Every game he had like a 50-yarder, 46-yarder, 30-something scamper touchdown. And I mean, if they keep giving him the ball, you know, in volume, he's going to be a beast. I mean, I think he's got Marshawn Lynch, you know, in him, you know, now. He's 5'10", 210, you know. That guy's a beast of a guy. He's only 23. I love these guys that have chips on their shoulders, fifth-round guy. You know, he's came in the draft where there was a lot of great guys. And Alex Collins, he made his name as a number two last year. I don't have in front of me exactly where he finished. But, I mean, if you give him the workload, he probably would have hovered around a borderline one. And there was weeks where he was. So I really love Alex Collins.
Like, sorry, to add on to that, like they did play a lot of like tough defenses last year. I mean, early on in the season, the Jaguars weren't obviously known at that point, week three, as being one of the tough defenses. But I mean, they did play, and like the Steelers too, like they play a lot of tough defenses, and he still, like you said, he came away with a big run almost every single game, and that's hard to do. So
he was the number 16 in standard last year and 21 in PPR.
Yeah, that's just impressive. I mean,
so yeah, for someone, I totally agree. Now, do I think he's going to do that again? I'm not convinced. I have a lot of people think he's going to finish close to an RB, like, you know, close to that 12 range, late RB1. I don't see it happening. I think maybe more around the 15 to 18 is a little more realistic for him.
Yeah, and I'm actually with you with that, Chris, just because I do think that they are going to add another piece, as Lindsay was alluding to, and it is going to take away from him. It's going to make him, I want to say, more efficient, because he was efficient when he did get the ball, but I think you'll see it more in times. He got almost 1,000 yards last year. I think he could still get there, still hover around 6 touchdowns. Maybe he gets up to 8. Not going to catch a lot, but he can do it. The fact that, you know, he was able to do it last year, but they do have Buck Allen for that. But yeah, they're probably going to have some guy to challenge him. And again, Dixon's there, so we'll have to see.
So let's play a little, who would you rather have? So Alex Collins or Joe Mixon?
I'm going to say something unpopular.
I'm going to go Collins just because I hate Mixon so much.
Oh, man, we're both unpopular.
Does that have anything to do with fandom there? Or?
No, I just don't like him. I can't see myself ever liking him. As a player, as a person, I just nah. I'm all out on him.
And you know what? It's crazy. I don't want to say it's crazy, but maybe for people to hear, I've never really been a big, big Mixon fan, especially the team he went to. So, Alex Collins all day over Mixon for me. Lindsay, even though I'm pretty sure that's very, very unpopular. People are probably going to say we're crazy after the show, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, probably. I'm going to say Mixon. So,
of course. You
know, I'll look like the sane one. What about Collins or Ajayi?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'm going to go Ajayi, I think.
I'm going to still go Collins here just because I think Doug Peterson is Doug Peterson. I mean, he likes to mix and match. I don't think that he's going to just give the ball to Ajayi, even though he should. But Chris would say he shouldn't because Chris thinks he's bad. But I really like Ajayi. I was high on him last year. He busted for me last year. I said, take him in the second round. Told sleepers to do it. Yeah, you did. You did. Alex, hey, if you took Ajayi and you did take Collins like I did tell you to do, at least, you know, it's some way you got to wash. But, yeah, I'm going Collins here.
You know what? I think I'm going to as well. And I don't really like Alex Collins as nearly as much as either of you two do.
Right.
But you were right. Just, I do not like Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
So it's completely overhyped last year. I still think he's being a little bit overdrafted. I think he's more along the lines of that low RB2 in reality, especially on the Eagles. What about Alex Collins or Kenyon Drake?
Oh, see, now you got me.
Yep. I knew this would be a tough one for you. What about you, Lindsay?
That's tough.
Remember, Dolphins got Frank Gore back.
This is kind of the one that's like you have to decide based on what they have done and what they can do.
Right.
So this is a tough one.
While Lindsay's pondering that one, I'm going to just go out and I want to say Collins, but I'm a big Drake fan and I guess it feels wrong saying Drake though. It does feel wrong, even though I love Drake.
All right, pick someone.
I'm going to use
Sense. I'm going Collins,
yeah. Collins. Collins, okay.
I think I would go Drake if Gore weren't there, but I got to go Collins. Right. All right, let's do one more here. Alex Collins or Chris Thompson?
Oh, man. Jesus.
Chris Thompson is who says Willie Snead, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, harder. I've got pictures of him all over my. Yeah, no, we're more than that. We're stuff I probably can't say on air. I mean, I love Chris Thompson. You know what? In a PPR, Chris Thompson easily, like for me.
I'm gonna go Collins.
Yeah, I'm saying Collins as well.
And he hates Chris Thompson as well. He hates when I talk about him.
I just think he's so overrated.
He's so not, though. I mean,
he is. You know what? Let's not get into this because I'm sure we're going to talk about this on every single show.
Right.
All right. Let's move into wide receivers. So I already talked about a couple of them. So Michael Crabtree, Willie Snead is the one and the two. John Brown is the three. Breshad Perriman still there. And their best wide receiver, who I happen to share a name with, Chris Moore. So, yeah, I think I caught three touchdowns last season.
Yeah, you did. That was impressive. Yeah. You won some money from me last year as well. So, thanks,
You're
Chris.
Welcome. You're welcome. But, yeah, so I don't really think, he's going to be relevant. Breshad Perriman most likely not as well. But this receiving core, Lindsay, looks a whole lot better this offseason than it did last offseason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year was just abysmal. The fact that they trotted those guys out there, to me, still to this day, is just so maddening. And again, we're at draft time. Like, they took defense all last draft. Chris Moore is another guy. How I mentioned Kenneth Dixon could possibly be their return guy. They might keep Chris Moore around to do some of that too, depending on what they see from him in camp. But looking at it right now, there's no way Breshad Perriman makes this team. There's absolutely no way. If he somehow does make the team, I'm going to set my house on fire.
Where are you moving to? You're going to have to live somewhere.
That's like an Eagles Super Bowl win celebration right there.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is just hard to count on. I mean, man, we have one of our hosts that was really high on Breshad Perriman, Mike Dirty Jobs. That was a bust for him. But, you know, he did, you know, as I'm going to down on that, he did hit on Deion Lewis. So kudos to that. But bad, bad, bad Dirty Jobs for telling people to pick up Breshad Perriman. He was terrible. And I advised against. So I'm with you there, Lindsay.
How many games do you think he played last season?
Breshad?
Yep. And if you know it, I'm asking Hoos to see if he knows this one. Actually, if you can
guess. I don't know it.
They sent him towards the end of the season, but he played over more than half the season. I know that. I don't think they sat him until late November. Am I right?
That's terrible. Jesus, if that's correct.
It is more than half.
Oh, man, that is bad. Oh, man.
I'll give you a hint. It's more than 8 and less than 16.
I would have said something like around 8 or 10.
11. Played in 11 games last year. He didn't play week 7, 11, 13, 14, or 17. How many catches do you think? More or less than 11?
Less.
And I know that because I just saw it here. 10 receptions. That's just
abysmal. And 10 catches. Yeah, terrible. He had such promise, too.
3 touchdowns in his entire career.
Yep. Yeah, stellar. Well, Michael Crabtree, so last year finished as the wide receiver 30 in PPR leagues, and then in standard leagues was the wide receiver 28. So do you think he's going to sneak back up into that high wide receiver 2 range again this season, now that he's once again the number 1?
Oh, God, I hope so. I'm really, I really believe in God, but I am praying to him that somebody can just, like, really help me out here. I mean, it's been abysmal in Baltimore at the wide receiver position for the past, I don't know, I mean, you had Steve Smith, he fell into our lap. But other than that, I mean, I really can't see anyone who's really done anything besides, like, I mean, Torrey Smith was there, but he was never a number one. You had Derek Mason for a little bit, but other than that, like, there hasn't been anyone that stands out in your mind, and I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but he needs to do something. I mean, we need all the help we can get, and I'm really hoping. I'm really crossing my fingers here.
We're praying for you. We're praying with you, Lindsay. We need him, too. We need him to come through on teams because he's draftable, right? He's going to be on – he is a number one, as Chris was saying. He, at least for the Ravens, I mean, he's their number one receiver on the depth charts as of right now. They're probably going to add someone that's probably going to take over for him, because I do believe that in situations, and I don't know, the last time we've seen him good was when he was on the Raiders. He's not on the Raiders. He wasn't good on the Niners. So I don't know. I mean, unless they focal him, and I don't see them doing that, I'd like to project him as a 2, but he's probably going to be closer to like a wide receiver 36 for me once I put out projections. It'll probably be next week or so.
Who scores more fantasy points? Michael Crabtree or Willie Snead?
Snead for me.
Oh, I just hope any of them score any points at this point. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten.
Poor Lindsay. Lindsay's so battered. She's just like, you know, she's like being for the Giants, like, you know, like, man, just give us something to hang on to. I mean, somebody's got to catch a ball.
Our best defensive player was the kicker. Like, I can't make this up.
Yeah, I want to say Snead, but I think I'm going to say him and Crabtree finish closer to back to back. Like, there's not going to be one clear leader in this one.
That's good. That works with me.
John Brown, the number 3 in that depth chart right now. I think, was he more just a depth signing, or do they believe in his health? Because he passed the physical. And Ryan Grant supposedly failed one after Michael Crabtree got released.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into that, but I think he's more of like a depth guy. I think he's more, he might even be like even the training camp guy if they do end up drafting a wide receiver, which I think they should. And that guy maybe comes out on top. And then they've got I believe he's undrafted, Quincy Adeboyejo, something like that. He showed great promise in training camp, and then he ended up getting hurt towards the end. And I think they were counting on him a little bit, which is another reason why they didn't bring anybody up last year. But he's supposed to be in there too. So I kind of think it's more of like a depth for now, and kind of like a we'll wait and see during camp kind of thing is what his case is looking like right now.
I like it. I do like John Brown. We've seen flashes and promise from him. I want to see him stay healthy because I want to see him succeed. I do like him a lot. And then one last thing I wanted to bring up, just like a little plug here. Their left guard, James Hurst, he's been there a long time. I don't actually know if he's played on a different team. They might have even drafted him. I went to high school with that kid, so.
Nice. Oh,
a little
sorry.
Bit of interesting information there.
Another
Eskimo
brother.
I also, one of Willie Snead's quarterback was Keith Winning back here at Ball State in 2013 when Willie Snead had his 1,500 yard, 106 catch, 15 touchdown game. Keith Winning threw for 4,100 passing yards and 35 touchdowns.
This should be on Strange Stats, which is a segment that we
It could
have.
Be. I was trying to get him on the show. I was trying to get him on the show. He messaged me back on Twitter, and I know he never played in an NFL game, but I thought it would be kind of interesting, like during the offseason, to get some perspective about the game from someone who's on the practice squad trying to make it up to the NFL. I thought it would be kind of cool to hear about that. And he's like, yeah, we can do it. Would it be a phone interview? And I was like, no, we'll do it over Skype. And then he never, ever messaged me back. So
he's against Skype.
I guess. He was more willing to give out his phone number than his email address. So. Well, all right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for this episode of the Sleeper Wire Show. Keep in mind, we brought this up last week, that the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am is back. This is going to be our third season. It's the biggest one yet. We had two leagues last year, and we're looking to double that. You guys, the listeners, get to play in a real fantasy football league with pros and shows from around the industry. And we had some big names last year. We had Marcus Grant, Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Sleeperbot, and a whole bunch of other names that are in the industry. And, you know, we are certainly looking to expand this, bring a lot of those guys back, expand it this season, and have more pros and shows than ever. As you guys know, Sleeper Wire is a charity. We are dedicated to making a difference in people's lives. That's the whole reason we do the show, the whole reason we do the podcast. To enter for a chance to play in the Pro-Am, it's pretty easy. Go to www.gofundme.com/robjr and donate. Every multiple of 10 bucks gets you a raffle ticket for the Pro-Am. So donate 10 bucks, get one ticket. 30 bucks gets you three tickets, which triples your chances to get into the league. Go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am for more details. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was awesome.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been great. So it's nice to have some of that insider information on the team instead of just the fantasy football speculation. That's been cool. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at LindsayOK. That's two Y's, and it's spelled with an E, not an A. Or Instagram is the same thing. And then you can find me on LindsayOK.com or theravenswire.usatoday.com. So there we go.
And you can also follow us on Twitter at SleeperWireShow. I'm on there at Seymour Sleeperwire. Hoos is on there at Sleeperwire Hoos. You can find us on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris and Prophet Hoos, and the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Hoos the Prophet. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
April 30th is the return of Metal Mock Monday. What is it? Well, Metal Mock Monday is a live radio show where we mock draft with the Sleeperwire crew and listeners. There's metal music playing in the background. Sometimes I take requests. And we chat with you guys. We chat with the listeners. We take calls. It is just the best hangout on a Monday night in the off season. And mock drafting will help you win your league. The metal music is just a nice bonus. Season launch show for Metal Mock Monday is April 30th, right after the NFL draft. We'll have all the rookies in there, know where they're going. So join the Sleeperwire channel on the Sleeperbot app. Search for Facebook groups. You can find us at Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club. Join us on Facebook or just go to sleeperwire.com. You'll get the details there and all those places when we start our show. Join us for the season launch of Metal Mock Monday, April 30th, only on the Sleeper Wire Show.